five, four, three, two,
countdown.
One.
Hey, welcome to another episode of the Unrefined Sophisticates podcast. Sorry we left you for a week, but we back. We're going to do a little shorty-torty, but we're going to give you something y'all can feel, something to carry you and hold you on over. I'm your host, Cam Jones. Wait, we are on episode 100 plus 60 plus 2 plus 1. Divided by 163 times 163. Bam.
Don't I'm your host, Cam Jones. Operations, friends.
To my left,
Morgan Jones.
And we just getting unrefined with it, but without the expletives.
We'll do our best.
Before we jump into those, let's take it up top.
Look like you had
that. That is a cool ching. That's a cool cup with the little Portland on it.
It also says City of Roses. I don't think you can see that because of the
frostiness.
The frostiness, the sweat on my glass because it's HE double hockey sticks hot in here. June 1st, and it's
June's a blooming.
It's really nice outside, though. It's just the inside of my house is unbearable at this moment.
See, I think mine is just starting to reach that moment. I'm gonna keep these fans are blowing. Well, before we jump into the things, we're gonna jump into these shout outs. We go shout out to the UK and Morocco for being our top listening countries this week outside of these here United States. Shout out to Los Angeles and Gresham for being our top listening cities this week outside of Portland, Oregon. Shout out to our listener this week, top listener, Worm like Garden.
One listener.
We had a single listener. Thank you for your ears. Worm Garden, shout out to you.
Bah, 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 bah.
Shout out to our sponsor, The Nine Brand. That's the IXBRAND.co is the website.com. Don't let your browser mess it up. Autocorrect be jumping in at all the wrong times. Not when you really need it, though. I've found this to be true time and time again. You can follow us on the Instagrams. Follow us at Unrefined Sophisticates. You can follow me, Can, at I Technically Can, and follow Morg at Portland Morgan. Make sure you like and subscribe and review wherever you listen. And tell a friend to tell a friend about us. Double up those Aunt Andres. Hello there.
Hello there. Dad.
Is that oranges with leaves on there?
Please address me as Larry June this entire
episode. Right. Yeah. Larry June.
Organic. I'm very organic.
Mary June.
I like it.
Mary June.
Okay. I was down to be Mary. A dude, but I'll take Mary.
Oh, okay. And I mean, you know.
Fluid
is fluid.
Exactly. I just wanted to, give the proper credit to the right people,
Okay.
I'm a big fan of this orange situation.
Yeah. It's a good color on you. It's a complimentary.
Thank you.
Is it because the bones are red?
Okay.
They call you a red bone? that. I mean, they're covered with blood.
I'm just going to move forward. This isn't going to matter at all because no one will hear this until after the fact. But I bought this outfit and a couple others like it because I'm hosting, co-hosting My People's Market this weekend with, our friend of the show, friend in real life, Britton. And
Brit.
I was like, it's supposed to be, kind of warm. There's a chance of rain, but whatever,
okay.
We're going to be moving around. It's going to be, okay. So I get a couple of outfits and none of these have pockets. Absolutely not a one. Things have pockets. I bought pants. I bought a couple of short sets. No pockets. Whoa. And you can't be on doing stuff all day without pockets. And this my friends, brings me to, why do y'all hate women? Like, why can't we have pockets too?
I'm going to tell you the closest thing that I came to that was getting something that had, faux pockets? Have faux pockets.
That's definitely the best way to remember that it's faux.
But it had, like, why did y'all make the outline and flaps for there to be nothing? It was a shirt. And I was like, what are we doing, bro? What is the point of putting that on? What was it going to be extra?
Well, let me tell you that that is the majority of the back pockets of dress pants for women. Like, they are not pockets. They are just a seam or a little flap. There is no actual
anything. You don't be carrying no wallets?
Because we don't have pockets.
Like, oh, so is it the apple or the apple? Was it the egg or the chicken? Which one came first? Is it the apple or the apple seed?
All I know is I don't want to carry a purse every single moment of the day, you know? And
you got to get a purse.
Okay. Well, same thing. Do I have to carry that on me? Yes. I need pockets. Like, the answer is there. The solution is there.
You got to hit Joanne's Fabrics. You should know how to sew. You a damn woman. Oh.
Yo, I don't know why, but I wasn't prepared for that.
that would legit. Ooh. Just the anger I felt with that shirt, and to think if that happened majority of the time I purchased something, there was a lot. Like, that was probably one of the few times that I've seriously contemplated going and leaving a review. Like, this shirt really giving it to them, as they say.
Really, those are the kind of service I need, though. Like, I need the,
yeah,
I like this shirt.
Shout out to those people.
Yeah, but the pocket is not real. Like,
yeah, that's the three stars. That's why I always go to the three stars to do my purchases, because I want to see what those people, the people that put three stars, are being typically conscientious about what they're writing.
Yeah.
Five stars are like, I just got it, and I need them this email to go away, or this alert to go away.
They, no matter where it is, excuse me, it's like they think they're going to get paid for that five-star review. Like,
yeah.
You're giving a five-star review with no review in it. It's just like, love it. Oh, okay.
That.
Cool. Thank you for nothing.
That. And a majority of one stars be having to do with more of the packaging, the shipping. It just, that's usually the high rateness. Yeah.
It's a customer service issue, not a product issue.
Yeah. Yeah. So the threes is like, you know, hey, these are the pros, these are the cons. Like, shout out to the pros and cons listers
too. Yes. Yes.
I'd be wondering if they type that out actually there, or do they start with a note and then copy paste it? Because, you know,
I wonder too.
I just shout out to them regardless. Shout out to them for taking the time. Yeah. However that is done.
For certain.
Hurting for a squirting.
Speaking of mid, why would you say that?
It's for 50-year-old virgin. Certain. It's hurting for a score.
Your best friend, the game, who you are close personal friends with.
Yes. We dap each other up.
All the time.
Yes.
So he has a project coming out. And so that means that he's out here being messy boots, right? Like, anytime...
called a rollout.
I believe it's called a rollout. Thank you. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. Put my AMR hat on.
So I just kept seeing the game either trend or headlines about him that were just like, this is stupid. What, you guys spent a week listening to the game talk about Eminem? Why? Are either of them something that you care about?
No.
Like, in real life today, I don't care if Eminem is a good rapper to the game or not. Like, I don't, vice versa. Yeah. None of, right? Like, so
imagine just be hanging out at your house. You know, you're good with your money.
Yeah.
You're good with the success that you had in decades past. And then you just get brought into the fold of
continuously.
What are we talking about?
How like, come I'm part of this?
Yeah. This is the discussion I'm not making myself. I've been out of this discussion for a lot of years, and it's only people, mostly people from that era that are still trying to hold on to and keep bringing it as if there's a relevancy now that would get people engaged.
Listen, Eminem is still wearing the same Jumpman 23s. He's still wearing a
Jordan. Is he signed to Jordan?
Yeah, he has a Jordan deal.
Also, can I just say too, like, you know, for myself, of I remember very distinctly the first time that I heard Eminem and was like many people, like, whoa, it caught me off guard.
That's different.
Yeah, it was very, very different for what was going on. And then the link to Dre and who and what Dre was, not to say he's any less to the thing, but at that specific time.
Yeah.
And then when I started getting bars of his like battles, and that's when battle rap was first really hitting in on like a mainstream, starting to get to like a mainstream level.
Mm-hmm.
This dude was really crazy dope in the space of what it was that he was doing. Now, we know that it's kind of like, for me, I think about Jim Carrey, right? When I was a kid, Jim Carrey was so funny to me with all the performative, what is it called? Physical comedy.
Yeah,
like that was so hilarious because it was like extreme. Tommy Davis and other comedians in that same. And then it hit a point where it was like, this is stupid. And I feel like that was the thing that happened for me with M, where it was a lot of this wild stuff. And it was like, okay, you can only chop somebody with a...
you can only kill your baby mama enough time. Like, we can't do this forever, can we?
Yeah.
With your kid in the car. We can't do that forever, can we?
Yeah. And that's where... And so I feel like people, though, also forget that portion of M, though. Pre... It got... corny. Like, he really was that.
Yeah.
And a lot of the people that speak up on him could have never survived in a back and forth in that era with him. And it sucks because it has to be like an athlete, right? There's people who were out here going crazy, and there's people right now that could definitely stick Allen Iverson right now.
Right.
They couldn't do that back then. Man.
Yep.
And to play him now and be like, oh, you're not that thing. It's like, that's not, no.
You gotta, yeah. So we have on this show talked about how sometimes context doesn't matter for the outcome, right? But context does matter for, it matters. Not necessarily for the outcome, but in this scenario, you can't forget the timing. You can't forget the affiliations. You can't forget the introduction. Like, all of those things certainly played a part. And then learning that, you know, he wasn't just like from Lake Oswego, you know, and like somebody.
Right.
So it, the context matters. And you can't act like, you know, just because he's mom spaghetti to you today. really didn't do some things.
Yeah. And you know, in this way of Game popping out, and we've witnessed too many lies from the Game, and him telling these lies and then actual receipts being produced about these lies.
And he don't even need to change of heart.
No.
But I'm
double up, double entendre. We got it.
You know.
So at this point, when anything with him, it's like.
This is exactly why I put it on the doc. And I'm sorry.
You tell me the sky is blue and I'm going to double check. It's at that point for me. It's something that he walks around with as if, you know, and maybe region, maybe in his section, maybe he is that guy, but it's almost this thing of, it's this level of God that he sits at with the great, don't get me wrong, he did a lot for the West Coast. When he came in, that was a moment in time. That was a moment in time. Mm-hmm. Yes. 20 years ago. I'll make sure to throw that out there. And then did things after that, with which, you know, the breakup from G Unit, that should have, you know, or could have been the end of things. He managed to keep it going, keep it going, keep it going. So no taking away from what's done, but it's this level of the West isn't like the East and the South in terms of there's so many people that go in that category. The West doesn't have the amount of superstars,
right,
that some of these other regions have.
Right.
And so, yes, he has this status, but it's almost as if he, in his mind, is on the Nas, Jay-Z, Biggie, Pac. Like, he's in that. And I wouldn't place it there. Again, not taking away, because mans can rap. Like, if there wasn't all the fluff around it, it would make listening to the stuff way wetter. Because yes, he got bars and really can go.
Yes.
But it's the other stuff that makes it like, this isn't listenable, because what part of this is just you throwing stuff together? Not that other rappers don't just be saying stuff, but you have always projected it as.
Yes. This authenticity. Yes. Yeah. You're projecting it as, this is real life, my real life. This is my problem with Rick Ross, but we could do this a whole nother time. Yeah. Like, but yeah, that this is authentic. This isn't rap, right? Yeah. Like, this isn't just for the cameras. This isn't for wax, all the things. It's like, nah. So to wrap up the game, because doesn't deserve. The headline that caught me the most was, the game says he was paid $1 million to stop saying G you not, which if, so, listeners, think back 20 years
yes.
or whatever it was when he broke up.
It was
up
the with summer of 05.
when that situation dissolved.
You were pregnant with your senior.
I don't know why I took that as me and was like, no, I was. And then I was like, he's not talking about me.
I paint the picture.
when that situation with G-Unit dissolved and it became, mm-hmm. I mean, because listeners do understand that 50 Cent was the messiest. Like, he mm-hmm. is, you know.
Some would call awesome. It strategic, but.
It is strategic, but it is also just mess. Like, he is ready mm-hmm. for the, he is the hood gossip. Like, that is what. Yeah. 50 is.
He's also like the actual living version of the hood bully that got the money on top. Yes. So it sucks, because not only is he messy, but he'll also
he'll do throw his to money you. Directly in your face and his power, because he has made a lot of moves. Like,
yeah,
dude learned a lot from a lot of people and he made those things happen. So, mm-hmm. yes, but this was like the you know, the battle of the messy dudes, mm-hmm. 50 and yeah. and Game. So, yeah. you know, it was the Game running around with like rats and rat t-shirts and yeah. G-Not, and everybody's, you know, a fake and a fraud over there.
Mm-hmm.
And his claim is basically that was so detrimental to not just 50's career, but G-Units as a whole and all of this, that Jimmy Iovine was like, man, we're gonna have to intervene on this one. I'll pay you $1 million.
Disband him.
Mouth.
Was it in a suitcase?
A fam. A wire? Was it
Jimmy came with the duffel.
And I don't even care if it's true. That's the thing with the game. Like, he has made it that, like, you are the boy that cried wolf. I do not care Nothing that you say makes me go, oh, whoa, that thing happened for or to the game. Like, you're arguing about being, you were supposed to be on the Super Bowl. That's why you hate Eminem extra today, because how could you put this dude on there and not me when I don't know, carry the West on my back, which you definitely don't. And the 50 situation, like, should we really still be talking about G-Unit? Like, 50 over here making...
He don't even...
or Stars or whatever it is that he makes TV on. Like, he's not... What are we talking about?
Clickbait. We keep seeing the things about that the record company, we know he owe a lot of money right now for the settlements.
I don't know anything about this.
He got that judgment, like, that he owed that girl from whatever show for sexual assault. The Game. Yeah, he owed, like, I want to say it's like $7 or $10 million, something like that. It's having to get the attentions up so that you can reap some of this money. So at this point, it seemed like possibly doing whatever to generate that revenue is
7.1 million.
Yeah.
After a jury found him liable for sexual battery in connection with an off-camera date. Oh, okay. Well, more on that another time. So speaking of court cases.
Oh, Segway Queen.
Today's the day. You and I have
we
not.
We drink for Johnny.
You and I have not been following this trial the way that other people have. I mean, this was like streamed on court TV and Twitter and everywhere. Like, you could watch it live. And I definitely tried to tune in at one point, and it's court. Court is mad boring. There's so many, like, oh, the jury has to go. Oh, now we're going to take a recess. Oh, now you guys can come talk to me, and the mics are off. And then, oh, you know, like, so I can't just sit and, like, watch hours and hours of actual court hearings, because it's like out of the, you know, 5-6 hours that they're there, there's like 2 hours of action, you know? So anyway, I haven't been like super paying attention, but I've just peripherally been seeing things. And I have friends who are very tuned into it. So today was the verdict.
Okay.
And to catch anybody up really briefly, this is a defamation case. Johnny Depp sued ex-wife Amber Heard for $50 million for a op-ed that she wrote claiming sexual abuse, assault, physical abuse, emotional abuse. And she never named him, but it was very clear that that's who she was talking about.
Okay.
Johnny Depp then lost a lot of things. Like, he was scheduled to do, you know, the Pirates, whatever the next installment was, and was fired from that. He was in the Fantastic Beasts, I think. And he was either...
Is that an animated movie?
It's not. That is the... It's in the Harry Potter cinematic universe, if you will. It's just a, like, offshoot story. He was in the first two, I believe, and he was supposed to continue to be in it. And then they took him out and they replaced his character altogether, I think. And there was another role that he was supposed to have, or that he had. And then they were like, sorry, you are clearly a toxic man that we can't have anything to do with. So he sued in the UK, which has a lower level of, I wish I had Ella here to say exactly what it is. Like, lower bar of what you have to prove. It's easier to win a defamation case in the UK, usually. He lost his defamation case in the UK against Amber. Here, He sued her for $50 million. She countersued for $100 million. She's countersuing for defamation as well. She's saying, you're calling me a liar. I am not a liar. These things happened. You will pay me, actually.
Ooh.
So, 6-week trial ensues. There are things like the court of public opinion matters, not supposed to matter in the court, but, you know, on the outside, people are, you know, all of a sudden they're team Johnny, team Amber. And you could see, you know, go to Starbucks and they have the cups like for the tips. And it's like Amber versus Johnny.
What?
Yes. Yes. Like, so you're the one that you think is right. I don't know, I guess. Then.
What?
And, it, and, like, there were things that I caught, again, I was not watching this, you know, with bated breath, but there were things that I caught that were like, wait
you said bated breath?
Yeah.
Tight.
Is this where you make fun of me?
Cool, cool.
Yeah, I wasn't hanging on every word or... Right? Okay. Anyway. anyway. There were things that were happening in the court that were very confusing to me. Like,
okay.
She was, I don't know if this was a troll or what, but she was dressing like him every day, like the day after. So he wore a gray suit on Monday and she wears a gray suit on Tuesday. He wears a three-piece suit on Tuesday. She wears a three-piece suit on Wednesday. He wears this particular tie on Wednesday. She wears it on Thursday. Like, there were, it was like, what are you doing? And that's the kind of thing that is, I think that people don't really think about their, that jury of their peers really not being their peers, right? And those kind of things being like, I have no idea why this woman would be doing that other than some weird, like, power play kind of thing. Or like, so there were people that were just like, she's trying to intimidate him and blah, blah, blah. And if you're a juror who is sitting there and you believe that that's an intimidation tactic, you're not going to forget that. You know what I mean? Like. Okay. That happened in the first week of the trial. On week 6, you're going to still be like, and she was dressing like him. Y'all don't remember that? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just a weird, to me, that is just a wild thing to do. Like, I don't.
It's very much so.
So it has really, what I've seen, and again, we all have our own pockets of the internet, so I'm not saying that, you know, I don't have a stance on this, but so many of the things I've seen is like, justice for Johnny. And, you know, team Depp and all of these things. And, you know, men are abused too. And women are trash. They're so awful. All they do is lie. You know, all the things.
Yeah.
Verdict comes down today. Oh, go ahead. It looked like you had a question.
Was there at any point besides the opening? Because I feel like it shifted fast to... We don't believe her. She needs more people.
I feel like the court of public opinion was sort of like that from the beginning.
Okay.
At least in America.
Okay.
It was sort of like, yeah, no, not Johnny. Nobody has ever said this about him before. So there were, you know, like, he's been married twice. There's been, you know, many girlfriends, all of that. And like, no woman has said that he's been abusive. She, in fact, was, you know, saying that he was abusing a lot of drugs at the time. And so, you know, maybe it was due to those things. But also the counter to that is like, he's been doing a lot of drugs the entire time. He's, you know what I mean? Like,
he's
been in the public eye for like 40 years. He's almost 60 years old. Like, this is, I know, learned that in this time. He's 58. But like, he's been on TV for what I can remember. Like, I mean, he was on 21 Jump Street. Like,
what?
So he's been around, I feel like, my entire life. Yikes. As an entertainer.
Why did I not? I'd be forgetting, like, just like when somebody would be like 20 years ago, in my mind, it's like, oh, the 80s?
Right, right. Oh, God. Yeah. Yep, same. and no.
Yeah, it's rough.
It's rough. So I don't know, because it was in the beginning, Can. I'm sorry. I feel like I may have stepped on what you were saying and I didn't mean to. In the beginning of this whole thing, when he did the trial, or when he sued for defamation in the UK, I think it definitely was like, oh, he's out of here. Like, every, you know, it was in the middle of the Me Too movement. She had written a sort of Me Too style op-ed. That was the thing. And
okay.
So I think that in the beginning, it was really like all these, you know, studios were like, okay, we can't have another Weinstein on our hands. And so we're going to, you know, like,
try to get ahead.
They were getting ahead of it. We're not going to be a part of that. Disney is the one who does Pirates. And, you know, so it's like, they can't be associated. But then, like, it's just, there were so many things coming out that just did not really look good for her. It looked like a lot of lies happening. You know what I mean? And there were, they were recording each other. So there was lots of audio, like there was lots of text messages, and the entire situation seemed incredibly toxic, you know, just right. like way that I described it. And again, I'm
trying to wrap my mind around living like that.
Like, never, please, never. I don't know if you saw the movie Gone Girl, but this is what it sounded like to me.
I don't know if I saw the movie. I definitely read the book.
Oh, did you? Okay, so you. Yeah. Hopefully, you'll know what I mean by this. It seemed like, from my, you know, peripheral view of this whole thing, was legit like, okay, so this is everybody is gross to each other. And
okay.
Then one of the parties took it to the most extreme. And in Gone Girl, it's like, I'm going to frame him for my own murder.
Yeah, yeah.
And this was like, he is a abusive, you know, drug addict, kind of, you know, like all of the things that would deter a career and public perception and all of those things.
Okay.
So again, he sues her for $50 million. She countersues for $100 million. He won on all counts of defamation on her end. Like, she mm-hmm. was, I think there were three or four different counts, and I might be using the wrong word when I say count, because I'm or charge. Like, I'm not sure how what it's called in a civil case. And then she won one of three in hers. And the one that she won was about his agent, not actually about him. And so that's another thing. So apparently his agent said that she had like staged a scene of a tussle with her friend. Like, she and her friend staged a scene, called the police, had them, and there was, you know, like broken stuff and wine. Yeah. And so because the agent said that I don't know how she gets to sue him for this thing.
Interesting.
But that was the count that they were like, okay, yeah, that was said, and it was said with malice. Like, it wasn't true, and they said it with malice. So she was awarded $2 million for that.
Okay. Does that just come out of what she owes to him? So it's like, they just subtract it, or do they actually got to cash out that $2 million, even though you're about to get this many mil from her?
Right. I don't know. And also, there's no way she's paying $10 million, like, or $15 million. She's not a humongous star like that, you know, and
OnlyFans.
She's not okay. You know what? Take it all back. She could definitely make that money elsewhere. Today, she does not have that money. And one of the reasons I think that another bad decision of her team was basically like, she was like, I was on a different level of stardom, not his level, but she compared herself to a group of people that she was completely delusional to do so. And like, So much so that they had to, like, they had an expert who, like, then explained on the stand, you know, how ratings of of actors go, and like the unfavorables and the favorables, and she was always the extreme. Like, nobody liked her. Audiences didn't like her. And to have that happen on in court, and you're saying, I'm like Jason Momoa, I'm like Zendaya, I'm like, huh? No.
Taylor, yikes.
So I don't know, like, what in the world her team was thinking in that regard of saying something like, Jason Momoa is Aquaman. You are in Aquaman. You know what I'm saying? Like, that, and there is a current petition to get you fired from Aquaman that was before this current trial. Like, they, people did not like her in the movie. They were like, get her out of here. So add all of this. There's like 4.5 million signatures to get her fired.
That's a lot of people. That's a lot
of people. So, like,
yikes.
Those kind of things, I think, when you make a claim like that, and especially for, you know, people who are so far removed from that industry, you know, like, we just consume it. We're not in it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, oh, no, because I know that Zendaya's in Spider-Man, and she's the star of Euphoria, and she's the, you know what I mean? Like, she's been doing since Disney, and, like, she's a one-name person. Like, dude on the stand was like, she goes by one name. I don't even know what the name is. Like, you're no Zendaya.
Yeah. Yeah. You're no Zendaya. That, like, sorry, but when somebody says you're no insert whatever name, that's an ether that, I don't care what it is. That is a hard thing to hear.
Yeah. 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 So the verdict's out. Johnny Depp wasn't even there. He was in Europe. When the verdict, like, he didn't go to court today. He's been in court every single day. He went to play the guitar with the homies in Europe.
That's tight.
He was like, whatever happens, happens, I guess. I don't know. Or he would have.
It's about to be litty in the city, wherever he at. It is.
Yeah.
It's going up. That's what I said. It's drinks for debt. Drinks for debt.
Yeah, it's been a wild ride.
Yeah. And, well, see what the next one. You know, could you imagine what the OJ trial would have been like in the now?
It was a lot then.
Exactly.
And so
that was the benchmark to what all of this stuff that felt like that changed,
it shifted
the
everything.
Way. Yeah. And so to think if that was happening now, what that would be something wild. And I hope that we never have to, you know, I never wish for somebody to be in a situation like that at all. But I think about a situation like this, for somebody that's far removed from caring about what's going on with either of those two, and still this making it into my sphere of things that are going on, and the details that I was able to get as a person not paying attention, what that would look like in the OJ trial, where I was paying attention, even as a kid, not understanding fully all the things.
Right. Right. I can't imagine what the amount of things that we didn't get because we were kids in that time. If we were able to, you know, process that information real time as adults, with, you know, more experience under your belt on what it's like to live in America. That would be an interesting thing.
Did you think Monique was funny as a comedian when you were growing up?
Yeah.
I was an actress or a comedian?
I was trying to think back, like, was that, was she funny on the Queens of Comedy? Because that's really all I don't know. I'm gonna not make a claim. I'm unsure. I don't remember. I feel like I don't.
So then, no. If you don't remember, then there's a no. We talk too much 90s, early 2000s pop culture that you are definitive about.
Yeah.
So we're going to say no. Cool. Yeah. Did you watch Precious when it came out?
I did. I went to the theater and saw Precious.
You did?
I did.
So the crazy thing is, I've caught Precious in bits and pieces. I never had a real want to watch it just because of the little bit and scenes that I saw. It was just too extreme. It's heavy. And what's wild is that here recently, maybe 2 months ago, Preem's Hood Cinema, watching him do the recap of being like maybe 23, 24 year old that recaps all the old black movies from the perspective of somebody that wasn't in that timeline. So watching just his joint, I probably saw more of the clips together that was like, oh, I'm glad that I didn't watch this first off. And that I can definitely say this, that was one of those situations where watching a character and then not being able to detach that character from the person. So that's always kind of been in my head.
That was the case for you, for Monique.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Post that. And again, I know it's acting, but you play that really well. I've seen you in a few things, but that, you took that on in a way that you ain't took on these other
roles. I mean, to be fair, no other role has been like that, right?
Yeah.
Like,
No, definitely. No
other role has been that role, and they have.
Yeah,
I would say that this is like her most serious role.
Yeah,
like everything else has it's lighthearted, or at least that I'm remembering, is lighthearted or the Parkers. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so it's like, that's not a serious role. That is generational trauma. that movie is rough stuff. And she did an incredible job.
Yes.
And I think I think maybe a lot more people than you walk away with the, you did that a little too well.
Yeah.
I kind of think that's who you are now.
Yeah. You channeled the right way. I mean, and the great acting, you know, great acting. But we know that Momo has been in these headlines back and forth.
It's been a lot.
And speaking up on unfair treatments, exposing parts of the industry and the way that the monies and things like that be working. She's had takes on how women should be showing up to the airports.
Oh, what'd she say?
It was a thing a while ago about y'all coming to the airports with your hair wraps and house shoes, you know, basically comfortable being in sweats, and that's not
how dare ladylike you
travel that way? And not in comfort. Don't do that, you know, because your husband might be walking by you, you know.
Yeah.
She didn't say that part, but
she meant it.
Basically, be there in the little
lady at all times.
Yeah, little kid in heel, and a sewing machine, just in case somebody don't got pockets.
I will not be a lady if it means I have to wear kitten heels. I'll never be it. I will never be it. I don't even remember what her beef with Steve Harvey was, but she definitely had a situation where with Netflix that was created quite the uproar, and it was. About, you know, a gender pay gap, basically, and how other people are getting certain amounts of dollars and she's being offered certain amount of dollars. And she felt that was happening because she is a woman and likely because she is a black woman I remember now, like Amy Schumer, who is not funny, but like, I don't know, a $20 million Netflix special or something around the same time. And so it was like, what is happening? And I feel like she definitely feels like she has the resume for, you know, a better billing or a better rate. And here we are to not today, but the weekend, in which she had a gig.
Mm-hmm.
In
GIG.
I think in Detroit.
Detroit. Motor City, baby.
Motor City. A comedy, I think it was called Comedy Explosion or something to that effect. And it was like Ida Rodriguez, D.L. Hughley, and Monique. And the way that Monique has explained her side of this situation is that she was approached to be and signed a contract to be the headliner. Mm-hmm. And when she got to the venue, the order of operations had been switched. And she was to come on before D.L. Hughley, and he would then be the headliner of the night.
Okay.
And if that had happened to me, I would also be incredibly upset. I don't know that I would go on stage and do the rant that she did, but I know that I would be extra peeved, as they say.
Peed off.
So she then took it to the stage. And
and ran
figuratively and literally, and she went in on DL and did a lot of homophobia. Let me just be clear, she did a lot of the
oop,
a lot of it, and
said went for the thing, which is your money or your sexuality. That's how you go at men. And
boy, did she do it. Like, your name is DL because you want a DL, that kind of stuff. Like, and then just, you know, it rolls. It just keeps going. And so that's a thing on its own. And I understand, you know, the comedians want to be able to say whatever they want to say because they're comedians. And they get to, it's just jokes. So I get to say what I want. No one should be offended. And her stance was basically like, I was shocked that he was offended. Why would he be offended?
Wait.
So DL, I don't think he said anything once he went on stage. She did her set. He did his set. And then he did some responding. And if you don't know, DL Hughley has a radio show weekly or daily. I'm sorry.
Oh.
Daily radio show. Okay. And he has a segment called the GED section where it's, you know, he goes into detail about certain things. And so he used the GED section for explaining his side of this situation, which was basically like, I made a mistake by saying yes to working with Monique. Everybody told me not to. I've seen her go at so-and-so, so-and-so, so-and-so. Like, at this point, the problem is you. Should have known that from the jump. And I'm more mad at myself than I am at anybody else, kind of thing. He did also say that she is the character from Precious, and that's not, that wasn't a role. That was...
Kind of how the dude from Boys in the Hood, they said that happened. Dude who leaned out the back window with the strap. They said he turned into that character after that, and he ultimately got killed.
Seriously?
Some street stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he did that, and there's someone else that a similar story of playing a role and then that kind of becoming who they became. Life imitating the art.
Wow. Yeah. So this has, you know, snowballed in the way that everybody's trying to show their receipts. And it's like,
they was pulling them out.
And, you know, DL was like, just all you have to do is look at the ticket stub to know who the headliner was. Oddly enough, I have not seen anybody post a picture of the tickets. I've not seen a ticket.
I was thinking that same thing on my quick run through of trying to see what I saw. Yeah. And yeah.
I that seems like a very strange thing for me, because that's the kind of thing that fans immediately do if they, you know, if we're team DL over here, you're going to be like, oh, I had that ticket and I'm posting it right now, so that instant clout kind of thing, right? Like, you're riding the wave of whatever is being talked about in that moment, and you have what someone is calling a receipt. I haven't seen one, so that's interesting to me. But he posted a deal memo, and which stated him to be the highest paid person on the deal, stated him to be the headliner, and stated him to
be the closer too.
Oh, I'm sorry. The closer is what I meant to say, not headliner, but also stated that he had a say in the lineup, the order of the lineup. Yeah. Monique then was like, a lot of people have been, I can't remember the word she used, like bamboozled, basically. A lot of people have been fooled. I'm sure it was fooled. A lot of people have been fooled by that deal memo. Here's my contract, because those are two different things, which I will say, as a person who was in the behind the scenes of the entertainment industry, those are different things. Like, one is a summary, one is a contract. And I will just say, in my experience, many things can change, but they can't change the day of.
Like,
so like, immediately when I heard this, I was like, so then the promoter is at fault. Like, this is just, you got to sue the promoter.
Yeah, that's what I got from that.
This is not a thing. You cannot do that. If you have signed a contract with somebody saying they are the headliner, and then you switch it on them, you owe, you're in breach of contract, period. So going through, she gives her contract. She shows her contract. She shows some emails. She shows the run of show that was emailed to her, and then the run of show when she got there. The run of show that was emailed to her had her as the headliner, had DL coming on before her, Ida Rodriguez before him. And there were two different things, three different things that she provided that gave that lineup. Then the run of show when she gets to the venue has DL closing and her going before him.
Okay.
DL says she did the slow walk, which is a thing that entertainers can do in the way of showing up so close to your set time that now you need to, you need time to get ready, right? And you need to prepare, you know, whatever it is that you don't, you don't just pull up and go on stage, right? Like,
okay, yeah.
You hit your green room, you do whatever it is that you do to get ready for a show.
Yeah.
And in that time, he's saying that she did that so that she would push the time so far that it would make DL go on first and she would get to headline. And Kanathan, at this point, I go back to my original thought, which was the promoter did some wild stuff here. Somebody did something wild, and I don't know that it was either one of the performers. It sounds to me like this is a, even if it was DL saying, wait, you told me that I would be the headliner and I'm not going to go on unless I am, even if that happened, that's still the promoter's fault, because whoever made these deals told two different people that they would be the headliner. And you can't do that. So, like, one, I don't know their history, and I don't know if this was just a, you know, straw that broke the camel's back kind of situation where she went out and flew off the handle, or, I mean, she went out and let it all out, or if she actually flew off the handle and this was like, you, nothing has ever happened between the two of you guys. This one thing happened and you were just like, bah. I don't know. Okay. But what it sounds like to me is they both have things that say that they're the headliner. The difference is what DL has shown is not a contract and is not signed. So the things that he has provided are not signed documents, right? What she has provided are signed documents. What DL points out about her signed documents are, that's a contract with your company's letterhead on it. That's just you guys. And as a person who would be doing the same exact thing, like, it would be my company listed on that. Like, I understand how that is a, that's a, could be a, just a bogus claim on DL's part, right?
Yeah.
Or, I don't know, you know, could be that Monique completely made the entire thing up. I don't think that's what happened, but.
Yeah. There was a breakdown, and I would say for you two to check it out on Here's the Thing. Because Kev on stage and that chick Angel, they were doing, they were kind of doing a breakdown that I thought was kind of interesting, because they, he was explaining to her how like comedian contracts work versus like actor actress setups, and how there's your contract, but then you also have the like abridged version where each of them aren't like, the way Kev broke it down was, I'm doing 50 city tour. I can't read the contract through. So I get this small version, and whoever your lawyer and so on is, they're the person that goes through the whole thing. And basically saying like his version was that, and hers was ran through her company, and something about what you had said first, that it seems like it's more of the promoter thing. And it almost seems like the promoter panicked last minute and was like, oh, I told both of them that they're headlining,
yep,
are going to be the closer. And then last minute made the decision of like, or telling her, whatever it was, last minute trying to figure that out. And it came to this head. But it was an interesting breakdown, which I would just say, I didn't get all the way through it. But in hearing what they were commenting on it, it was kind of the same, you know, point you were kind of making with that and how that works.
I do appreciate, I would love to hear, and I will check that out, just in the difference of those comedian contracts. But the reason I threw my experience in there with contracts is having all of those different ones.
Oh, yeah. Right?
Like there's the big one. There's the big one that's all of the things. Then you've got one summary, you've got another summary. And if it's a tour that you're multiple stops at, like, then it's, you got multiples of all of those for each day.
Yeah.
So the deal memo, like, that's a thing. Like, that's absolutely a thing, but that is not a binding contract, like a contract. In my, but like, so to hear, so to hear Kev say that comedian contracts are different, like, I'd be interested to know if a deal memo is binding in that regard, or if it is what I know it to be, really as more of a summary of what is happening.
Okay.
Either way, though, that summary of what is happening has him listed as all of those things. Her contract has her listed as all of those things.
That is like, wild. It
appears to me as neither one of them are lying.
Yeah, baby.
You know.